Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa, and we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are talking with Deborah Boone of Cannon Beach, our state representative, about what's been happening in regards to food and agriculture at the legislative level. And what impacts we're seeing here on the North Coast. Welcome.
Welcome, Deborah.
We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you are from Cannon Beach, right?
Well, actually, I live near there.
Okay.
I get my mail there for people who write.
But you're out
me.
In Hamlet, yes?
Yes. I do.
Which
live
is out on 26.
Out of town a little
yeah.
bit, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a great spot.
So we always like to ask our guests, how did you end up here on the North Coast? And how, you know, what's been your path?
Well, it's an interesting road that landed me here, and that is one of my parents' best friends was driving to the coast one day and to visit. My parents had a house down at outside of Cannon Beach too.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I just went by this place that's just great called Lindstrom's Nursery. It's a great place. It's a native plant nursery. Why don't you buy it, marry that guy and buy that and run that nursery? And she
oh
was
my gosh.
She was one of their best friends from long time before, during the war years.
Uh-huh.
And she was a gardener, and she lived in Lake Oswego, and she had a garden that was all native plants, and you know, so, which are not, that's not usual uh-huh. for someone's home. So anyway, that's how we ended there, because my dad and I bought the place, and
really?
Then I got married, and then we moved there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you actually.
But we, no, we didn't run oh. the. when they sold the place, they sold off the nursery stock in a separate sale. And it was run by a Swedish man and his wife, and they were just great people, just great people. And so, anyway, we've lived there since 1974.
It's a beautiful property yeah. right on the river.
Yeah, it's on the river. And in the, when the water comes up during flood time and everything, the first few years were a little dicey, but it never has come into the yard. It comes right up to the edge of the house, but
oh
we're
gosh.
Very lucky.
Yeah, and you get the sunshine
yeah.
when it's foggy at the coast.
Yes,
actually...
we're inside the Sun Belt, mm-hmm. and our garden, we do have a big garden in there. It's actually gotten smaller, but the footprint of it has we have a big elk fence around it. We have oh. to do that. And we have a, I don't know, it's about a 40 by 20 foot garden in there.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in the legislature?
Well, early on, I worked for our congressman at the time, Les Acoyne,
uh-huh.
for his campaigns and helped him run. I did the Clatsop County campaign. And then I ran for county commissioner against his advice. He said, don't do it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But... so I did anyway, and that was my first election, and that was of a government. I was on a hospital board before that, but it was a nice race. I ran against the assessor at the time,
uh-huh.
and he was a wonderful man, Art Johnson. And he, it was when campaigning was different, and he ended up giving me a bouquet of flowers on
Aww.
Election night, congratulating me and a big hug. And so,
Aww.
Yeah. And wow. then I
what year was that?
That was 1986, I think.
Okay.
And so starting in 87,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
and I served 2 years, and it was a full-time job at the time, and I had a mortgage and kids mm-hmm. and bills and stuff. And so when they changed the form of government to an unpaid, or home rule, and the commission was unpaid, literally,
right.
I think they got $200 a month or something for a stipend. I couldn't afford it, so
sure.
I ended up going to work for our, at the time, State Senator Joan Dukes
oh.
in Salem as her assistant. And then I served as a legislative assistant for 16, 17 years down there, 8 different people.
Oh my gosh.
And then the last person I worked for the last 8 years was with this district. And Elaine Hopson, and she
uh-huh.
Went back to her home in Alaska before she was finished, and I got appointed to the seat, and then I had to agree to run too. So I was appointed in August, ran, and won the seat in November, and then started down at the legislature in 2005. And so it's been a while.
Wow, you have. You've got
yeah.
some time.
So I think I figured it out. It was 25 years
oh,
maybe
gosh. Yeah.
in public service now. So
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's a long time.
What it is. What have been some of the highlights of your tenure as a legislator?
Well, every year when I worked for the other legislators as their staff, mm-hmm. I started out with Senator Dukes, and then I went to the House after that, and then I worked with Jim Witte uh-huh. down in the South Coast from Coos Bay, and I told him, okay, here's the deal. And it was a little gutsy to do this, but I said, I would like to have a couple of bills of my own that I will work, and you know, you file them, you get the glory, but I'll do the work. And right. one goes with the environment, one goes with children. And I've always worked with child abuse prevention in my college years and everything. I worked in treatment for a while and decided that wasn't what I wanted to do. So I was on the charter board of the Oregon chapter of the National Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse. And so I always did something with for kids, and then I got on the Children's Trust Fund. So that was kind of this other piece of uh-huh. what I did down there. And so when I first started, I was on all the budget committees and e-board and everything, and I just did not like that. And I really preferred policy. And that's like Senator Johnson will say, she just doesn't like policy, she likes budget. So right. we're a good combination that way.
Yeah.
So I did human services, and it was very difficult.
Uh-huh.
So but I always did natural resources too. So when I worked with my legislators, I would get something like, we worked for, I want to say, 5 different sessions, because I started before working with Representative Hobson on the large woody debris stuff.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it became a joke, because it was like, how much, you just don't give up, do you? And so we did finally pass that this last year, and it was a Brad Witt bill.
That's
and
great.
And I was just amazed. So it was yeah. great. But that was one, seafloor mapping,
uh-huh.
seeing that. It's not finished yet, but it was getting there, and we had a huge help when that shipwreck happened down south, because we got what was left of the salvage money.
Right.
And then a bunch of stuff in the environment and water.
Uh-huh.
We've done a lot of water policy, and a lot of, then it kind of got in with ag. I got into uh-huh. a lot of helping small farmers and
yes.
small producers
uh-huh.
and fishing interests and stuff like that. And then the other thing was, I've been working on ocean energy. So,
well, I got to see Deborah in action earlier this year when you were still on the Agricultural Committee, and you're no longer yeah. on it. But I yeah. had the honor to go down and testify before the Agricultural Committee, because I was asked, there's an organization called Friends of Family Farmers based in Oregon that asked me to come down and speak. They were sponsoring or advocating for a bill about Aggie Bonds, and Aggie mm-hmm. Bonds is a program that was helping, I think, community banks be able to provide more financing for small farm operations for land acquisition
mm-hmm.
and operational costs, infrastructure costs, and stuff like that. And myself and another woman named Sherry from Dancing Roots Farms, I think over near Sandy, went and testified about how hard it is for small farmers like us mm-hmm. to acquire, be able to find financing from banks to purchase farmland.
And you told a very compelling story.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You did a great job.
Thank you. But it was fun to go down. I know you're no longer on the Ag Committee, but it was really exciting. I mean, for me as a citizen, this was the first time I'd ever gone down to like state government and spoken to my elected mm-hmm. officials. And it was a little bit nerve-wracking, but it was also super exciting to see that process work. And ultimately, that was successful.
Mm-hmm.
That was also really exciting, too, that bill passed.
Well, you did a great job, and that reminded me of before I actually was a legislator or a county commissioner, I went down, and I'm trying to remember the year, so it was before 80, it was, mm-hmm. must have been 85 or something, and I went down and tested, oh no, it was in the 70s, I think, because
yeah.
I went down and testified on the early land use stuff, and
oh, yeah.
had to testify actually before now Governor Kitzhaber.
Wow.
He was the chair of that water right. policy committee. So,
yeah.
And I know what you mean about
yeah.
being a little scared. So.
Yeah, but it was yeah. fun, and it was inspiring, and it was really cool. And I certainly would encourage people to get involved at that level.
Yep.
It's very cool to see your government in action, but it was a really positive mm-hmm. experience. And I was just excited to see so many of the bills that are coming through, or support mm-hmm. that's coming through the legislature for small farms and agriculture. And I know that this is a region that really needs that kind mm-hmm. of help. We don't really have a whole lot of large-scale agriculture happening in this area. I mean, by like, you know, multi-thousand acre
right.
farms. I mean,
yeah.
a lot of the farms on the North Coast are small farms and small family farms. And so, and I know, Kristen, you've mentioned the Farm Direct bill was another
right.
one.
Right.
And maybe explain to people what that was.
Yeah. And I mean, that one's actually had a pretty good impact on what our farmers can sell. the direct market bill. Some people knew it as the pickle bill. And I sat on a committee for that down at the legislature, which was also a really positive experience. And it was fun to see the process, I guess, of actually having something like that come to pass, and then watching it from the farmers market side of things at what people mm-hmm. can do to increase the value of what they are selling by doing value add. And so I think that's actually made a big impact for our local farmers.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to mention, you guys are talking about these bills, and I believe both of them came from ideas from constituents. Mm-hmm. And that's most of what I do is respond to that. If I'll have someone come and say, could you do a bill on this, or would you be interested in, and we also turn them down too. Uh-huh. Things that are not going to go through, or are so against our personal set mm-hmm. of morals and stuff like that, because I've been asked to do some pretty dicey things and I just won't do them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I explain to people, because this is how it works. And I put my name on things. I don't, you know, hide behind a non-name thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, when you come and ask me to do a bill, I need to put your name at the request of you know, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. your group. And you can't believe how many have backed away from that one. And so, but mm-hmm. I don't do that many bills every year, maybe 10, if that. And I tend to do things that my bills that I'm working on, that I come up with, are all pieces of a puzzle. For example, the seafloor mapping stuff, uh-huh. and all the stuff on seafloor mapping and marine reserves, things like that, ocean energy. It has a very close connection to my emergency preparedness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other area I'm working in, emergency prep and veterans. And that's that committee, emergency preparedness and veteran services, people go, how did that get done? Mm-hmm. But you know what? At the end of the day, when we have our people who come and help us, they're usually the Guard, the National Guard,
uh-huh.
from the Oregon Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those veterans, you know, they become veterans once they're finished with their service.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a lot of guys coming back from the war now, and they go, and sometimes they'll stay and they go to work at, we had one employee from our construction company, for example, who we lost to Camp Rylea. We're sorry to say for us, but lucky for Camp Rylea.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful man and does a great job. And they're, you know, those are the guys who come out and help us during the flood and storm times.
Sure. Yeah.
And those are our emergencies that we're going to see. So that's one of my little bills that I did for that, was to get a device. It's not a device. It's a thing called Marine Map. It's a program, actually, a computer program.
Marine Map.
And we had to dig up some funding for it, and Wave Energy Trust and Department of Fish and Wildlife
right.
came through. And this is something where you can, you know, put a parallelogram stamp on a map, and then it will tell you what's happening in that area in the ocean.
Amazing.
And it's good for planning. I see you're ready to take a break.
Yeah, so we are. We're almost halfway yeah. through this show already. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN, 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you are just joining us, we are talking with Deborah Boone, our state legislator. And we're so excited to have you here. So
I know one other thing that you do, it's not just all down in Salem. You come out to the areas that you represent and go to meetings and sort of town hall stuff. And you just did something recently in Forest Grove. I know Kristen
yes.
was talking about this. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was about?
And that was, I was invited to, actually, I ended up standing in for Senator Johnson.
Oh, no kidding.
And that's how that came about, with Representative Unger,
uh-huh.
Who represents outside of Forest Grove in that. And mm-hmm. My district goes around Forest Grove. It includes Banks and Gaston, but not Forest Grove.
Uh-huh.
But it does go around it. So I pick up a lot of people who live in that area. And we met at the library, and it was a town hall,
uh-huh.
basically, themed on agriculture. And Ben Unger is a farmer out
sure.
there. And
out of a big berry family.
Yes. And then we had somebody, and I believe she was from the market, but we're not sure. But anyway, it was a group of people. I knew a couple of them, because that's just a new part of my district
mm-hmm.
there. And we talked about agriculture in that area and in the rest. And my piece was to talk about the ag interests in my district and including the fisheries, and because that's all part of that scene. And we had a great discussion, and we literally got kicked out of the library because we were going over our time.
Yeah, it sounds like something that would be so great to have down here on the North Coast, maybe base it out of Astoria and kind of invite the same sort of a, you know, issues discussion, because I think we have a lot of great issues to talk about down here. I know one thing we talked about a little earlier, I'm going to bring it up, the GMO thing. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing on behalf of that?
Well, I was in conversations with people about a year before our session and as to this, and there's a kind of a group. I don't know who all is in this group, but they're promoting this around the whole United States, and especially in the farming areas. And they asked if I would be interested in helping them achieve this goal, which was, our bill was just, there were several GMO bills, but our bill was just to say, if it is, you have to label it as such, you know, or, and there
which
was
seems
quite a,
very simple.
It seems very
doesn't
simple,
seem like such
very
a complicated
basic.
Thing, yeah.
And I know that, I think it's Whole Foods or one of the New Seasons or one of the store, big stores, big chain stores have done that on their own, and they just don't buy anything. They don't sell anything that or to the public that has GMO in it. And we started thinking about, what does that actually mean? Maybe it's better to label it as it's non-GMO or something, because it would.
I just feel like I should back up here just for those few people out there that don't know what genetically modified organisms is what GMO stands for. And these are foods that have been, it's way beyond altered. Hybridizing. They've been genetically altered to include things that would not naturally happen in nature. And so sometimes it's like splicing in... I think the classic one I know is like splicing in genes from a flounder into a tomato to make the tomato more cold hardy and able to withstand cold. So, I mean, in nature, a tomato would never crossbreed with a fish.
No.
But this is something that's been
bizarre.
Which is, I know. And so these are the kinds of things that you can do with genetic genetic engineering. So and some people find that very upsetting and don't want to have to consume genetically modified organisms if they don't want to. And so there's a lot of labeling programs out there. Very famously, one just got shot down in California in the last election cycle. So
Well, and that, speaking of the fish, that was the second bill that I had, and I joined with Representative Paul Holvey from Eugene, and people say, well, what does he care about fish? Because our bill was about genetically altered salmon. They've been having, experiencing some real problems with this treatment in the you know, the farm fish escaping and getting mixed up with the natural fish out in the water, because they do. And I have to say, since I even spoke to you about doing this show, my friend who's in real estate, and you might say, what's that have to do with it? Well, she lives in Manzanita, so she enjoys fish too, and everybody's concerned about what they're eating, you know, just like you said, Teresa. But she showed me a, because I tried to make the point, I'll try to wrap this around the same so it doesn't get too far into the weeds, but we had a bill about not allowing seaplanes into Waldo Lake. And it's a very pristine area, lake down in, I don't know, Roseburg area maybe. And I said, well, you know, because we have the invasive species issue we're dealing with, you can't hose off a seaplane. It's either in the water on its pontoons or it's in the air. And how do you clean it off if it's got something, if it's coming from somewhere else? Maybe it's landed in this lake over here and it's coming here and it's bringing something over. So people were saying, oh, come on, that's so bizarre. We'll have these farms in, you know, landlocked places, they won't get out. And I said, well, what if a bird picks one up and then drops it? Well, she showed me this great video of a sea osprey picking up a fish and taking it away, and it drops it, still hanging on with one talon, but it could have fallen. That could have been in a pond. That could have gone into the ocean, and then there you are. You're contaminated. So our deal, and they've had, what I started to say, they've had some problems in BC, British Columbia, at some of the places up there. So they've seen some escapement. And then they said, well, no, these fish are sterile. And but the point is that it's kind of like birth control pills. It's not quite 100%. There's just a small percentage of them that are not sterile. So they could breed. And that's what we wanted to not have. Yeah. And we thought, okay, that's for fish because we don't want to ruin or damage our salmon populations. And to me, it's also able, you would be able to say our fish are not polluted by this.
Right.
They don't have it right now. It's down in Panama or someplace. And so people say, why do you have to do it here in Oregon? I said, well, we want to preventively stop mm-hmm. this from,
right.
you know. So anyway, that's kind of my push yeah. on that. Well, we just didn't even get half a chance to tell our story there. And then the labeling thing, it was argued that it would put this huge cost onto the farmers and stuff. And I said, you know what? They already label food. So why couldn't you, and we always say things start in this date in the future, whatever. Why couldn't you just say, and you have to label it if it is
right.
genetically modified so people can make that choice.
Yeah. Do you hear from people? Do you get any feedback from your constituents about labeling?
A lot of people. We had a lot of people, which, and I don't know the numbers, but mm-hmm. I would say it's probably the second or third most strongest concern that we heard this last session once those bills were out in circulation.
And then what were the first two? I mean, I'm just kind of curious. What were the top concerns for people?
Oh, well,
in your district?
The economy.
Yeah.
Big,
okay.
The economy
mm-hmm.
and school funding.
Right.
Things
okay.
like that. And that's, just make a touch mm-hmm. on this because schools are connected to what you guys do too, because now we're talking about curriculum,
right.
extracurricular. That's the kind of stuff that gets cut. Mm-hmm. And so kids who, for example, want to have a garden, maybe
yeah.
learn about that. That's something that either the some other group has to pick up or not. So now that we're getting more, we put $1 billion more into K-12 funding
this
year.
That's really great.
And so now they're going to be able to hire back some teachers full school year, days wise. Because mm-hmm. I asked the question, how do they, if they get more money, how do they implement it immediately? And they said, well, they'll put days back. They've got teachers who are ready to go.
Well, and it's so exciting to have those kinds of programs mm-hmm. in schools. I know that we've seen on the North Coast with some of the going out and doing gardening education
yeah.
in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how much it connects kids to food and where their food comes from. And just
yes.
being more willing to eat fresh foods and eat fresh vegetables mm-hmm. just because it's something that you grew or you got to plant that seed. And there's that engagement level.
It's a big deal. They're so excited.
Amazing.
I have a
to
school
see.
in Tillamook
yeah.
where these kids just... They couldn't wait to tell me all about it, and
yeah.
they knew all their varieties, and they were so proud
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yeah,
and this is just what four years ago we would ask kids, "Do you know where you're in
yeah.
committee? Where does your food come from?" And they'd say Safeway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and they don't make that further connection.
No, yeah. I think we have really good things happening
yeah.
down here on the North Coast, and our kids
yeah.
are really benefiting big time.
Yeah, it just seems like such a great thing to be able to continue, so it's nice.
And the markets, you know, I wanted mm-hmm. to say one more thing, because I know we're going to run out of time here, but it wasn't that long ago when you could not use food stamps or SNAP
right.
program
mm-hmm.
at the markets, and or vouchers from whatever,
yeah.
and...
Yeah, the WIC vouchers,
yeah,
yeah we're
so
able to accept those.
And in the school programs, they wouldn't mm-hmm. allow food from
right.
a garden in there.
Right.
It's kind of like you can't bring cupcakes anymore, but that's a whole other story.
I mean, that's only been in the last year or so that's been
yeah.
changing.
I know. But all of that is so exciting to see. I mean, and you must
mm-hmm.
have seen, like, in just the last decade, the transformation
right.
in the North Coast with all the small farmers markets starting up. There's
yes.
so much more happening in agriculture out here. It's really exciting.
Well, when my kids were in school, and this wasn't all that long ago, but it was a while ago, but it's when they, you know, the joke about they considered ketchup a vegetable.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So if you put ketchup on your hot dog,
you'd
you
have
were
your vegetable.
Eating very healthy.
Hey, so we always ask our visitors to tell us about a favorite recipe of theirs or maybe something they're cooking in their kitchens right now. And since we're getting closer
okay.
to the end of our show, could you tell us?
Sure. I can tell you eating a lot of tomatoes because I'm just being overrun. But most people are overrun with the zucchini. I have to look for zucchini. But there's something about
That's
the
not
tomatoes.
Not a bad problem to have.
Oh, I know it. But so what I've been doing, I make my own pizzas.
Uh-huh.
So I do put a lot of tomatoes. And I haven't made any sauce yet. I know Mark suggested I do that. But So I am going to give you a recipe for cheesecake.
Though. Ooh, yum.
Nice. And this is my signature cheesecake. You cannot blow it. It is foolproof. So basically it's either a package of graham crackers or more lately I have been using those little Anna's ginger cookies
oh, yeah.
you get at
with
IKEA.
Kind
or,
of a little cinnamon in them.
Yeah, you can get them here
yeah.
too, I
mm-hmm.
think. And so about a cup of those crushed and then just enough butter to stick them together and use butter. Don't use margarine because margarine's scary. And so
I like the way you say that. Yeah. That's great.
And you have to, you don't have to do it in a springform pan, but that's good. But you can just use any pan and put it in there. And then you, the mix is the body of the cheesecake is 4 packages. This is for a 9 or 10 inch pie. Uh-huh. So 4 packages of, and just thinking fours, you know, a cup of sugar, and I have used other sweeteners, so you don't have to use white sugar. Mm-hmm. And I use less, but that's kind of the basic. So 4 packages of cream cheese.
And those are the 8 ounce?
8 ounces, okay. Oh, and I use the light stuff. Mm-hmm. And the sugar or whatever sweetener you like. Uh-huh. 4 eggs.
Wow.
And I use vanilla for the base, but you can do any, and you can use
flavors,
uh-huh. you know, that kind of thing. And I just make one for maple, so I use Canadian maple syrup.
Oh, nice.
And that way you use a little bit less sugar, too, and you can use all that maple syrup there. And don't worry about it not setting up. That's not a problem.
So you just mix all that together, blend that all up?
Yeah, and lately my food processor died, so I got one of those Ninjas. It's like a big blender. And
oh, wow.
You can do it, in that? Okay, cool.
Or you can do beers, whatever. Uh-huh. That just makes it really almost liquidy and smooth, and it turns out just like silky pie. But so anyway, the eggs, the cheese.
Four eggs,
4 packages of cream cheese, the sugar or other sweetener, and a flavor.
Uh-huh.
And then beat that all up, put it in there, bake it at 350 to 375 for about 45 minutes, and then take it out. And I'm doing a little Jamie Oliver thing, so, you know, even if it cracks and stuff, don't worry about it. Take it out. Let it sit outside the oven for 15 minutes. And while you're waiting for that, then you mix up a cup of sour cream, more sweetener, but not very much, you know, and then more flavor. And then after 15 minutes, and leave your oven on, pour the topping over it, then put it back in the oven for another 10 minutes, and you'll see some little bubbles just around the outside. And then take it out and let it
sit
for a couple hours. Because if you put it, you can go ahead if you're going to leave or something, put it in your fridge, but don't cover it until it's completely cooled.
Because all the condensation
it'll drip off there and you get water spots on it. So, and I used to do catering and people would say, oh, I'm not paying for that. It's got water spots. So,
well, that sounds delicious.
What I do is then I put and I usually make raspberry or something, just make a topping with berries.
That sounds so good.
Well, we are actually at the end of our
show. I'm
going
to go home and make that right now.
That
sounds so
wonderful.
And I just wanted to ask, so if people want to contact you, what's a good way to contact you? We don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah, email's probably the best. And the email address is, let me give you a web address for the state, the best overall state. www.oregon.gov, G-O-V. And that's the overall state. You can get to the legislature from there, find me there. Email's probably best.
Mm-hmm.
It's rep.deborahboone, all one word, DeborahBoone, at state.or.us.
All right.
And the phone number's 503-986-1432.
Thank you so much for coming today.
This has been awesome.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
So, thank you for joining us on today's Food Talk, which is fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast.
And this show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org.